This week, I kind of want to cover, we're going to review a little bit from last week, because we have a couple people here that weren't here last week. Mom, I'm thankful, Mom, that you're here this week, because I made a joke last week that, oh, I'm in trouble because I didn't have you to comment to help, you know, with time. So now you're here, so I got to write all, yeah. It's just a joke, Mom, don't worry. So, thankfully, people that are here this week can help, and we'll get it going. So we're going to review from last week a little bit, the tidbits, and then I want to talk about a biblical view of work and that how kind of transforms our thinking. And then I want to kind of address some things in our callings, you know, what Mr. Poggi has something interesting they kind of want to address about the relationship between, you know, what's our responsibility and what's God's responsibility. And so all those ideas kind of fit into callings. So there's those three things that I'm going to try to hit them out here, plus the discussion questions that I have a couple questions here. So we got a lot to do, so we're going to be rolling along. So review from last week, remember, we looked at the triumphalistic views with the defeatistic views, defeatism, and we looked at how triumphalism in the church, it's this movement where it's all a very Rocky Balboa type of philosophy where you can be like, you know, yeah, you can do it. You know, God's given you the strength. You just have to live for him. You just have to keep going. God's gonna let you do this, and, you know, it's for all for his glory. And it's very, when you think about it, in essence, it's a very man-centered type of philosophy, because it's all about doing and doing and doing and doing. And then we looked at the defeatism viewpoint, and that's also about, you know, we gotta hang on for God's gonna come back one day, and he's gonna take us to heaven, and thank goodness, because our world's going to hell, and I can't take it anymore. And it's just funny, because this week I have a coworker. She's a believer. She's amazing. She goes into missions all over the world, but she has this philosophy where she's always thinking, she's like, oh, she always has the news tab on her browser, and she's just all the time, she's clicking away, and she's like, oh, so sad, Jesus, come take us, because we're going, and she does that all the time, and it's just funny. And I think about that defeatism philosophy, and so you have those extremes. And we talked about last week how it's all about, it comes back to selfishness on our part, because we're looking at what we can do in that situation. It's dependent on us, and we found that the gospel is in the middle of that, and it's not focused on us. It's focused on Christ and what he's done in his story. So. It's all right to have those two philosophies where you want, or some of, what am I trying to say? Right, some of the aspects is correct. You do want to have some, you know, God gives us a sense of motivation to want to do stuff for him if we're in Christ, because we're so thankful. We looked at that last week. And then at the same time, we look at the sadness, we look in sadness at the world because of our sin, and we want to go to heaven, but that's the main motivating factor, and that's kind of your ideology, and you're kind of remembered by that. It's, yeah, right. I thought I saw a hand in the back. Did anyone? Okay, I'll move on. And so we remember that Christ's kingdom is already instated and present, and we wait patiently for the renewal of all things at the end of the age. And that gives us a sense of peace, and that gives us a sense of comfort, because it's not dependent on us, it's dependent on Christ. And we can take joy in that. And then last week we also saw that the extremes of our guilt and Christ's sacrifice covering that guilt, we see when we take a look at the gospel in that way, and we see the gravity of our situation and the gravity of our sin, and then the amount of sacrifice that God had in sending us his son, and the amount of sacrifice that where Christ obediently obeyed God and came, that beauty of the gospel, when we understand that, we want to serve God because of an act of thankfulness. So not all that is kind of, I'm summing up all that we saw last week just to get us on the right point. And in case you didn't realize, I'm my father's son, because we always have to review before review to go into next week. So, all right. I'm going to address, we're going to look at a question here from the book. I think it leads right into that. I forget what number it is in the book. It starts with, the problem with triumphalism is not the goal. Does anyone see that in the booklet, what number it is? Number two? Page 50, number two. It says, the problem with triumphalism is not the goal. Christians shouldn't want to see their good works produce change in their lives and in their societies. The problem with triumphalism is that it expects us to transform the world so that Christ's kingdom will come, as if Christ's coming is dependent on our work. How are you free to serve and love when you recognize that Christians receive the kingdom by grace? So, did anyone write anything down for that or that want to share? Chad? It's not up to us to build the kingdom. It's up to us to proclaim the gospel in truth and let God do the work in that. Amen. Miss? Because we love him, we'll do that action, and Christ gets the glory out of it as a result of that. Yeah, excellent. Anyone else, Mr. Andrews? Yeah, that's like that verse that reminds me, I don't know what the reference is, but it says that I planted, Apollos sowed, but the increase is given by God. And so when we see that, we see that's not up to us. We have nothing to offer. Well, I mean, we do have something to offer, but God's the one that changes. We can't change people. And when we understand that, we see that I mean, especially for those who have a controlling personality and that it has to be done your way, or I can see myself in that I sometimes really want it my way, you know, and when you have that, even as a Christian, you want to do it, you want to do the work, and it humbles you, first of all, and then it gives you a sense of peace because, no, you can't. You can give the gospel, but only God can change people like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift. And you add all that into the mixture, and that's where we come out with thankfulness, too. As a result of all that, we have thankfulness. Yeah, Mr. Poggi. Amen. And that's actually a hope that we can get when we can't see the results now. But in heaven, isn't that a blessing that we have that hope in the future that we'll be able to see the kind of the fruits of our labor, but at the same time, we won't be able, it won't be a selfish reason. We won't be like, oh, look what I did. Oh, look at all that. I witnessed. Oh, man. It will be praise the Lord for his goodness in using me in that way to give the gospel in all that way. So I think this is a good transition period and kind of addressing that question Mr. Poggi asked of like, okay, so we know that God does some of the work, and then we know that we do kind of we're commanded to work. So where's that difference? Where do we work, and where does God do the work? And I've thought about this a lot, and an answer to that is that it's not a nebulous concept of what God wants in our lives. You know, it's not that we're walking around and we're just like, God, what do you want me to do? It's like that example I used last week of college kids and high school kids when they're in romantic relationships. It's all nebulous, and it's like, well, they're getting the petals off the flowers, and they're like, should I? Should I not? Should I? Should I not? And it's not like that. God tells us exactly what we're supposed to do. He gives us the Bible telling us, you know, what the commandments. We're not supposed to, we can't obey all the commandments on our own. So through Christ, we're able to get, yeah. Please, well, come on, what am I trying to say? Through the commandments, we're not able to reach that. But through God's grace, we're able to, even in our weakness, God sees us as complete because of Christ's sacrifice for that. So that kind of just reminds me of a film. I'm a big history geek, so I don't know if you've seen, anyone seen the movie Gettysburg in that? Yeah, a couple people. Well, in that film, it just reminds me, General Lee is played by Martin Sheen. And I love that movie, but if I'm honest, I hate that performance of Martin Sheen as General Lee, because General Lee, I read a couple biographies on him, and he loved the Lord, and he was a man he was smart, diligent, prudent. And Martin Sheen portrays Lee as a person. If you watch the movie, half the movie, the first part, he's just like, what? They're like, General Lee, what do we do here? What should we do in this situation? And he's just like, it's God's will. It's God's will. Well, do we attack from the rear? Do we attack from the middle? Do we attack? It's God's will. And so he doesn't do anything, and you're just like, come on, General Lee. And, you know, it's, so we don't have to do that. All that to say, we're not like that. We're commanded. We know that we're commanded not to sin. We know what the commandments are. And so we're commanded to glorify God, to do the Great Commission. And so, for example, if we're, you know, if there's a job opportunity and we need money, we're not going to, you know, we're like, well, God, should I take this job or not? Like, that's a question we can ask many times. And, I mean, if there's a open door and there's a passageway, well, take it, you know. You got to do something. There's a really good book I would recommend if you haven't read it. It's by Kevin DeYoung. He's a writer, and it's called Just Do Something. And he talks about how a lot of us have a Gideon syndrome. And it's not there's a disease called the Gideon syndrome or something like that. It's not that for those, what? It's something, I don't know. I was researching it and I came up with that. It's not that, for those in the medical field. It talks about the Gideon syndrome in the Bible, where Gideon, he knew what he was supposed to do, but he kind of put excuses. He was like, well, God, what if, I don't know, I need a sign for this. I need a sign for that. Should I do that? Well, we're commanded to do what we're supposed to do. And, yeah, Rachel. Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business, working with your neighbors, just as we instructed you to do. It's not some terror.
Right.
And there's a lot of things as Christians we can do,
yeah.
But like you were saying, we're instructed to have jobs.
Right.
We're instructed to be productive part of the
society. Right. And it starts day by day, working day by day, what we're supposed to do. Yeah, at the same time, you know, if you're going to do something wrong, that's not a question. It's not like, I'm really good at with money and accounting and the books, and there's this guy that wants me to launder money and convert dirty money to clean money. Should I do this? Oh, and there's no gray area there. It's wrong. It's sinful. So if it's sinful, we're not going to do it. And then if we're walking the word, walking in God's will, we have a clear understanding of work, what we're supposed to do, living day by day. So that gets me right there into the biblical view of work. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper than talking about verses like, the verses everyone talks about with work. And, you know, do maybe I should review them. I have a lot of here, but work with your own hands. You know, work profitably. All those commandments. We're going to look a little bit more at a deeper understanding of that. So, if you want to look at Genesis 2:2-3. And I think this is important in talking about callings with our work, because we spend 40 hours a week at work with people. And a lot of times we come on Sunday and, you know, we're refreshed, we glorify God, we worship God. And then Monday, you know, especially in our society that we live in a society that's all focused on the weekend and working on your hobbies, working on your pleasures, and work is just a, you know, something to get you through so you can enjoy the pleasures of life. But in reality, as Christians, we'll see here that work, we can glorify God through our work. And I think that's a big, big, big thing that Christians should understand, and we're going to look at it here. Genesis 2, verse 2, we're going to look at verses 2 and 3 in Genesis 2. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from, if you missed it the first two times, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So a lot of times the Bible repeats things, not just because it doesn't know where it's going, but because it repeats it for emphasis. And we see here that God works. You know, before the fall of man, God works. All right? If you want to turn to Genesis 2 and then verse 15, you'll see here, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. So what we see there, work is not a product of the fall of man. A lot of times we think that with the sin nature that we're in, work, or because of sin nature, work is hard. But work is not the product of the fall of man. In fact, work is a product of God's perfect creation. And even more so, creation is first a product of God's work, and then our work is a product of God's creation. So when you think about it like that, it kind of changes our perspective. God is now in the process of the work of redemption. You know, he was in the process of work in creation. After the fall of man, he's in the process of the work of redemption. That is why Jesus said in John 9:4, you don't have to go, I'll say it here, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. So, right there, that's comforting to know that while we're working in our work, in the workforce, and the jobs that God has for us, we're also doing the work of Christ. You know, that what whether you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. Yeah, but in every day that we're working, we're also commanded to be vessels for Christ and reflective of Christ. So that transforms it. You're not only a Sunday Christian, you know, it's even more than that. You're a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday Christian. You're working to glorify God. And when you're glorifying God in that way, other people, unsafe people, when we live in the society that we live in, unsafe people are looking at that. And it's not, I mean, you can use work as a testimony, but you shouldn't just use work. You just can't say, well, you know, I work really hard, so people, if they'll see Christ through that, and they'll know that I'm a good Christian, or they'll see that I'm a Christian because of the way I work. And that's not true. Vodi Bakum says, no one, what's the quote, Dad? You said it yesterday really well. Yeah, no one will ever become a Christian watching you cut your grass in a Christian manner. So you actually, it's not going to work. But you can use that testimony of working hard, working diligently, especially in the society that's all about shortcuts and cutting work. You can use that to say, you know what, I'm here for a higher purpose. This is a one way I glorify God. Another way I can glorify God is through my worship. I can also worship God through my work and be very thankful for the way he's given me to be creative or to be diligent or to be hardworking. So all that to say, it's not work which is the product of the fall. Rather, it is the difficulty of the work we have because of the fall that makes it hard. And our attitude towards work, it is our attitude towards work that is the product of the fall. And we see that constantly in our society again. Like, there's some threads I follow online. You know, I'm starting right now. You might be thinking, well, this is easy for you to say. You're only 4 weeks into your first job, and you know, I get it. There's a lot of you guys who have been working for a long time. I understand that, but that idea really is a direct opposite of what society tells us. And I just found it interesting because I'm on a thread. It's called FIRE. It's called financial interests and retire early. And a lot of people, what they do, they give a lot of tidbits of how to, you know, be smart with your money, be very good with your money, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because if we're living in Christ, you know, we can use our finances to glorify God, and that's a great thing. But the thing that caught my attention is the slogan on that website. And the slogan on that, everyone, after they comment everything, they usually end the slogan, and it says, work stinks. Only they use a lot more profanity than that. But that's the idea, work stinks. And all they want is, they see work as a means to get to their goals, to get to their hobbies, to get to their passions. But it's just sad how people without hope, they don't see work in that way. The fact of the matter is that we do not understand the reason of work or value it in our society. We don't understand the purpose of work. which is that we are in the image of God who works in us through his creation. So now when we understand that we are vessels for God, it really changes the way we interact with God, with our Creator, and it changes the way we interact with his creation and with those people around us. So does it, yeah. What was that in your morning devotions, you said? Or a book in the morning? Okay. Yeah, Mrs. Yeah, and that's not only is it comforting and inspiring, you know, God uses us from vessels that, I mean, everyone has different gifts too. That's obvious, but it's cool that, you know, we can glorify God through our work, and everyone has different gifts that God's created. That just shows God's creativity in that way, and designing us differently. You know, we're not all the same robot. We're all different. And yeah.
And I think the moniker of this person is a full-time Christian service is not helpful when I'm thinking about this. Because every person who's a Christian is a full-time Christian. And whatever service God has given us to do, we are all a full-time Christian service. But we shouldn't be. We are. We shouldn't be. We are. And as you said, we're Christians. 24/7, 365. How we need to look into Christ day by day to find strength. God, how he wants us to. Live how he wants us to. Work how he wants us to. Fail.
Our job doesn't define us, because what defines us is our life in Christ, and that should define us. And when we're doing that, we're kind of working for Christ, but we get to work for Christ, you know, like you said, 24/7. So, and that's where our identity is in. Okay, anyone else had any comments? Yeah, in the back there. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bad testimony if we hype up what we can do, but you know we don't. We're lazy, and it's a bad reflection on Christ through us. Because, yeah. So anyway, that's a good way to come full circle, to say, you know, we don't work hard to gain favor with God or anything, but we work hard to be a reflection of what Christ has done in us, through us, and we can worship God in that way and show our creativity and our diligence. And so when we think about that, that's what I meant by the deep, it really changes the way you do stuff. And I personally, I mean, a lot of us, we probably have doubts, man, I wish I would have known this way back. I wish I would have kind of thought about this, you know, in high school and in school, the way it kind of makes you think. I'm fortunate. I thank God that I kind of know this now. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. You know, this kind of transforms the way you interact with everybody, and that's just with work. Then it transitions into the same way. The same concept transitions in your relationships, and the way you act with other people, and the way you deal with other people. Because you are, I'll read the paragraph I have here. I think it sums it up very well. There's a God who created the world, and we work because he works. And when we work, we pursue truth and beauty and goodness in the world around us. And as fallen men, we wouldn't get that. And we wouldn't get that to its fullest, but because of Christ who redeemed us, we are not only saved to have a right relationship with God, but we express that relationship with God through our continued pursuit of hard work to the glory of Christ our Savior. And, sorry, Mom, you had some? Go ahead. And a testimony, a biblical testimony of that, you see the life of Joseph. And a lot of people like to, you know, show Joseph as a moral guy that did right, and we can be like Joseph, and that's the wrong viewpoint, to view Joseph like, oh, what a great guy. He rose the ranks because he worked so hard. No, he even when he was in the worst possible outcome, he continued to work because he knew that he had a God behind him, and he was that vessel to portray God to everybody else. So when he worked, he started low, and we see it in Genesis, you know, Potiphar's house, boom, back down. And he works his way up in the prison, boom, back down. And you're like, how did he have that motivation? And I've heard a lot of messages on that. I've heard a lot of messages that they're like, wow, he just didn't give up. He just kept going. Well, that's not the point. It wasn't because of who he was. It was because he knew that he had an awesome God and an amazing God. And through him, I bet Joseph didn't expect anything out of it in return. We know how the story ends. But he knew that his identity was in Christ, and he was still going to do his best to portray that God in a pagan nation like that. I think that's a great example of what we're talking about here. Great example. Okay. But I'm going to read that last phrase again. We are not only saved to have a right relationship with God, but we express that relationship with God through our continued pursuit of hard work to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we have a right relationship with God, not only is that expressed through our continued pursuit of hard work, but I think that's also expressed through our continued pursuit in relationships. And not just in the community, you know, we talked about last week, you know, first we have a responsibility with our families, then we have a responsibility in the church. And then in our workplace, we see that responsibility in our jobs and with other people. And like a lot of people mentioned, there's always people watching us. People are watching all the time, you know, with the reactions that we have. So it's important to be a good testimony and not just say, oh, my work is a good testimony for God, but to actually use that testimony to find ways in to proclaim the gospel. So when people compliment us on a job well done, we can say, you know, with good coworkers, after you've been working with them for a long time, they see you day in, day out, they should know that your identity is in Christ and you're doing this for Christ, and you're not just going to keep that to yourself. As the song goes, you're not going to hide it under a bushel. You're going to proclaim, you're going to preach it, and you're going to say, you know, that work I do is a reflection. So it, a reflection of my identity in Christ, and it goes hand in hand. You work because you want to have a good testimony, but at the same time, you witness because it's what we're commanded to do. That's what the Great Commission is all about. Yes, Mom. Right.
I think in our minds we think we have to be perfect. I wasn't perfect, oh God, I failed you. We're not going to be perfect. We have to own that wound of love.
Yeah.
And ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, at the same time in that, you know, people might point out, well, you're a Christian. I mean, you did that and that. Well, you can just say, I strive to do my best because I strive to glorify a God who saved me. But at the same time, I have a lot of weaknesses. And God uses me as a vessel to glorify him despite all these weaknesses that I have. And it's amazing that the Holy Spirit indwells in us and changes us. You know, that's just, we have the Spirit living inside of us. And to me, that's just amazing because we're weak. We shouldn't. We shouldn't have that. But through God's grace, that's the gift that we have. Yeah.
Just to add on that, that God is still working at me. That person's looking at me and they saw where I wrote sin. I seek forgiveness from God, and I seek forgiveness from heaven. Oh, God is wrong. Not me. God's still working on me, all of you, and so deal with it.
Yeah, because that's a very like people who aren't believers will say that too. That's a very, oh, well, I'm not perfect. I'm gonna say that white lie occasionally. I'm not perfect. But can you say that one more time, that phrase?
Yeah, God's still working on us all. We recognize that. But when that person points out or sees something like that, even if they don't point it out, they saw it and we know they saw it. We go to them and say, I was wrong before God. I sinned against him. Maybe I sinned against you.
I'm processing that.
How to say it.
Yeah.
Born again believer,
Because even in our worst days, we can take comfort that God is working through us, and he kind of can show us in that time that we still rely on him in our weakness. And through that, that's also a reflection of people see that in the workforce, you know, and even in our work, in our worst days, we're dependent on God for everything. And like you said, the you know, there's a lot of people that do a really good job without being in Christ, but I think you can see the underlying motivation. And like you said, there's a distinction between a believer that does work in the sense that it's not just about the money. You know, there's workaholics. They're working maybe because they're addicted to working. They need something to do, or they're trying to get that money in, you know, to stash it all. You know, as Christians, we might be doing that too, but there's an underlying purpose for that. And our purpose is to glorify God with however that may be it our funds, our testimony. So there's a distinction, I feel, in that. Okay. Yes, in the back there. Yeah, like that's another point you mentioned, that not only do we struggle with our own flesh, but the enemy, Satan, he's always going to be attacking us too. That's another aspect that we have, which is why we have to constantly be in God's word. But we, at the same time, we don't have to be burdened down with, I think a lot of times we do get burdened down, but that's the whole point of this, that when we are burdened down and we are weak, we can find comfort in the fact that Christ is working through us. We have a renewed mind, and God's Spirit, if we're in Scripture, God's Spirit is working through us to combat that. So even on, like I said, on our worst days, that's a reflection of Christ there. Yeah. Again, still processing how to say that, how to say it for the microphone. Okay. Well, I think that's a good recap of everything. And I just heard the second bell. So we'll end in a word of prayer. And I really like this discussion. I like studying about this. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that we can come to you as vessels in the society that we are in, and we can be administrators for you, and we know that we're not perfect, and even through our weakness, you work in us, and that just humbles us. And we pray that we'll be able to really glorify you, and that you'll give us the strength to be diligent, and despite our weaknesses. And we just thank you for that privilege that we have. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.